We're in the Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Bitachon, third perek, and the Chovos HaLevavos began the third perek by telling us there are five hakdomos, five things that you have to be clear on, and then you'll be considered having Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you understand these things and believe these things, then your Bitachon Hashem is complete. And the first of the five was the seven characteristics that we attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes it possible and imperative to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'akdama HaSheinis, the second of the five things that has to be clear to you, Sheyeda V'yisparer Etzlo, he should know and it should be clear to him, Ke'abor Yisparach Mashkif Olav, Ribono Shel Olam watches over him, nothing is concealed, not that which is exposed, not that which is hidden, which seems redundant, again, that which is inside, that which is out. Some explain that means his emuna, his hidden emuna, his apparent emuna. It's all seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam is aware. If his bitachon in Hashem is complete or not, is clear to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kasha Amar Kasuv, like the pasuk says, Hashem Yodei Machshavos Adam Kehem HaHavel. The Ribono Shel Olam knows man's thoughts. Most of them are nonsense. The Amar Halo Tochein Libosu Yovin. The Ribono Shel Olam understands what's inside his heart. The Amar Kiyato Yodat Lavadcho Esavav Kol Bnei Adam. You alone know what's in the heart of man. When the one who has bitachon realizes this and it's clear to him, it's really inappropriate to claim that he has bitachon Hashem in his words when in his heart it's not like that. He'll be on the level of those upon whom it says, in their mouth and in their lips they give me honor, but their hearts are distant from me. In order to have true bitachon, you have to be aware that the Baruch Hu knows everything that's going on in your life. The Baruch Hu knows what's apparent to others. The Baruch Hu knows what's not apparent to others. The Baruch Hu knows what you're thinking. And to say the words of, yeah, bitachon, but you don't really believe it, doesn't get you anywhere, because the Ribono Shel Olam knows if you have bitachon or not. And this goes back to what the Chovos HaLevavos wrote earlier. If you don't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Ribono Shel Olam is fine. Whatever you trust in is that what you're left with. You're left with that which you rely upon. If you don't rely on the Ribono Shel Olam, the Ribono Shel Olam could leave you to the fortunes of whatever you put your bitachon in. So that's not a good thing. So you want to put your bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam. Well, then it has to be for real, because you can't pretend. There's no faking it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could fake out your friends, you could fake out people you deal with, you can't fake out the Ribono Shel Olam. So you have to understand that. The Ribono Shel Olam is aware, and if you don't really have bitachon Hashem, then you can't pretend to have bitachon Hashem. The note brings from the Mefarshim on the Chovos HaLevavos, this is something that we have to think about all the time. Because we say many times that we have bitachon Hashem. Nafsheinu chiksel Hashem. Ki b'shem kodsho b'tachnu. Ki b'shem kodshcha ha-gadol ha-gibor v'nor b'tachnu. V'sein sachar tov v'chol ha-bodchim b'shimcha b'emes. Sochkeni mohem v'lo nevosh ki b'chol b'tachnu. Over and over we say we have bitachon Hashem. Well, do you? Do we really? We're saying it. So, do we mean it? If we really do have bitachon and we say it, we won't be embarrassed, we won't be ashamed. But to say it and not mean it, that's not good. So this is something that we have to be aware of. It's not just lip service. The idea of bitachon, relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu, is something that we have to really believe. And perhaps it is helpful to say it when we daven and we say these psukim, we say these things. So it could be helpful, because if you repeat it, maybe it sinks in and we get there. But ultimately, it's not enough just to say the words. It has to be something that we actually live. In Parashas Bechukosai, we have a tochacha. And the way the tochacha is described, it's basically in the context of, if you go with me bekeri, then I will go with you bekeri. And if you go bekeri, bechamas keri. And it goes on saying that if you think that these things are just happenstance, then you're going to see what's going to happen. And the word keri means something just mikra, something just occurs, not guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it just happens by itself. So you're going to go with life like that, then you're going to see the consequences of that. And the punishments get harsher and harsher, and it's a whole list of all the klolos in the tochacha of Parash B'chuk Osai. That's how it's presented. Rashi Zichron Levracha of Weinberg once gave a drasha, and he said, if you look closely at the wording of the pasuk, it says, Kisei lichimi, if you go with me bekeri. If you conduct yourself bekeri. It doesn't say, if you say it's bekeri. The pasuk doesn't say, if you're going to say, this is happenstance, and this is going to happen to you. If you say, this is just coincidental, then this bad thing is going to occur. It doesn't say that. It says, if you go bekeri. Why does it say it like that? Because no one says it's happenstance. No one says, everyone says it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone says it's Menashe Mayim. Everyone says, they know exactly what to say. Well, do you believe it? Or don't you believe it? If you believe it's from Hashem, and something bad happens, then you're going to react. You're going to respond. You're going to behave differently. You're going to introspect. But if you go with me, bekeri, if you behave in a fashion that demonstrates that you really think this is just the way of the world and this is just happenstance and coincidence, you didn't say chas v'shalom, no one says that. Everyone knows exactly what you're supposed to say. You're going to say it's min hashamayim. You're going to say it's b'rosh hashanah. You're going to say it's b'asharit. Fine, you're going to say it, but how do you behave? How do you go? Ki seilich bekeri. Your behavior doesn't change. Nothing changes in your life. Then you're going to see even more. Until you understand that if the Ibn Hashem is doing this, then he expects something from you, that you're supposed to maybe do something a little different than you've been doing until now. If you don't change anything, if you ignore what you see and what you experience, kiseilech bekeri, it's just going to get worse. But it doesn't use the language of the way you will speak, because no one's going to say it. No one's going to say, oh, it's just coincidence. Everyone knows that's not what you're supposed to say, so you're not going to say it. There's another thing Chovos Chovos is saying, the same concept idea. It's not enough to say all the right things. The question is, do you believe it? If you believe it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then something's got to change. And he said this to the yeshiva, unfortunately, after a tragedy in the yeshiva, and he expected us to respond. And we have to change something. We have to do something different. You cannot be business as usual. If business is as usual, then that's Seilich Bekeri. Then you're going Bekeri. Then you're acting in a way as if, yeah, these things happen, and that's the way life is. It has nothing to do with me, and I should just go on living my life the way I've been until now. That's Kiseilich Imi Bekeri. The person who understands that this is indeed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot ignore these events. So again, when it comes to Bitachon, yeah, it's very easy to say, have Bitachon. It's a whole other story to actually believe it and behave accordingly. Vakdam Ashlishis, the third thing you have to clarify if you're going to have Bitachon, Sheyachid Elokov Bevitcho Noi Boy, Bemeshuchayv Liftoyach Bo. His Bitachon has to be exclusively upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyachid, it's only Hashem. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he places his Bitachon in the things that he's obligated to trust in Hashem. Vayishatef zulaso imo, without incorporating anyone else. V'yiftach alav val ech meibur, because if you're going to have Bitachon Hashem and one of Hashem's creations, v'yiposed b'chonu b'lakav v'yishatef zulaso imo, then you are damaging or limiting your trust in Hashem the minute you incorporate and include something or someone else in that Bitachon. We know what the pasuk says about Asa HaMelech with all his piety when he trusted on the doctors, the chsiv, v'gam v'cholyo lo doresh es Hashem ki berofim. In his illness, he did not seek out Hashem, only the physicians, v'nenash, and he's punished for that. not the seichel vasavobis is disparaging people to go to doctors. Later on, we will see that he writes it's an obligation to go to doctors. It's a mitzvah to go to doctors. You have to go to doctors. But Asa did not daven to the Bereshon. He was not derish as Hashem. And for that, he was punished. From Akasa Baruch Geva Shiftach Bashem Vahoya Hashem Miftacho, the Pasuk tells us that the person who puts his bitach in a Kadosh Baruch Hu exclusively is blessed. Umin Yadua. Kimisha Yamanem Ibnei Adam Shnei Mimunim. Everyone knows. You appoint two people to take care of something, or Yosef or more, Lassos Dover, take care of something. Minuyo Mufsad. You know, that's a lousy arrangement. It's not going to work out. Because as soon as there's more than one person in charge, no one's in charge. Especially if you're going to put your trust in Hashem and somewhere else or someone else, this damages and undoes the bitachon. And this will be a very strong reason that he will not get from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that which he trusts or relies on. Kama Shalom, like it says, Or hagever asher yiftach ba'odom v'sam baso zro'oi u'min Hashem yosu libo. Cursed is the one who puts his trust in man and relies on people to give him strength, and he turns his heart away from Hashem. So it's unlikely that HaKadosh Baruch is going to come through for him when he puts his trust elsewhere. The trust has to be purely and completely entirely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not anywhere else. And again, based on the previous Hakdama, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unaware. It's not Hashem doesn't know if you have divided your trust or split your bitachon. The Baruch Hashem is well aware of what you're thinking and what you're relying upon. I think a question people ask, is it a lack of bitachon to have a plan B? Whatever you're working on, whatever situation you find yourself in, so you put your bitachon to Baruch Shalom, and there's a plan A. Is it necessary to have a plan B, or that's a lack of bitachon to have a plan B? Why a plan B for? You put your trust in Hashem, there's no plan B, that's it. Just put your trust in Hashem. Maybe the Baruch Shalom's plan is plan B, not plan A. You know, people want to know, is it a lack of bitachon to plan B? Maybe it's a lack of bitachon to have plan A. Why do you have plan A at all? The Baruch Hashem will take care of it. What are you plan A for? Maybe the Baruch Hashem's plan is what you think is plan B. So it's hard to say that it's a lack of bitachon to consider your options. Again, Chas Vavos, we'll discuss shortly the whole concept of Ishtadlus. And if you have to have Ishtadlus, so maybe there is. It's like saying a girl applying to seminary, well, this will apply to one seminary because that's it. Put your bitachon in the one seminary and that's it. Why do you have to apply to a second and a third? You need a plan B and a plan C. What do you need that for? Just plan A. Well, maybe the Russian doesn't want you to go to the seminary that you applied to. Maybe he wants you to go to the seminary that's your B or your C. So it's hard to say that if the fact that you apply to multiple seminaries is a lack of bitachon. Put all your eggs in one basket. Who says that's the basket Hashem wants you to put your eggs in? V'akdama ha-revius, the fourth thing that you have to have clear. You should strive and see to it and look over to fulfill whatever the Baruch Hashem obligates you to fulfill. Lasos mitzvosav, whether it's doing the mitzvahs, ulizar masher, his yemenu, and stay away from their virus. Because ultimately you want the Baruch Hashem to take care of the things you are relying on him for. Chazal teach us, if you make Hashem's will your will, and you'll do the mitzvahs instead of neveris, then the Baruch Hashem will make your will his will. And ignore your own will if it interferes with what Hashem wants. And that will stop others from interfering with what you want. Trust in Hashem, do good, live in the land and graze with Amun of Amitov Hashem Lekayvav Nefesh to Hashem, the Baruch Hashem is good for those who rely on Him. So, if you're going to trust in Hashem, logic will dictate that you're going to do whatever Hashem wants you to do. You'll do the mitzvahs He wants you to do, stay away from the various He wants you to stay away from. But to trust in Hashem, that Hashem will take care of you, at the same time, you don't listen to Hashem and you rebel against Hashem. Kama hu socha, what a fool he is. Kama daitu chalusha v'hakaraso, how weak is his knowledge and understanding. Ki hu e'er, don't you see? Kimishan is man alo mibne adam al davar. If a human being appoints someone for something, if he tells you, listen, I need this being taken care of, or Ma'azr so b'davar says, don't do this, v'avram it's for something, you don't listen. The agil imamana avram it's for something, and the one who you're asking to take care of this knows you're not listening to him. Ki esibah chazakol himane menu ha'asos ma'ashudach alabo. Isn't that a good reason he won't listen to you either? You ask someone to take care of something, he says, listen, I could do this for you, but I need you to take care of this and this. And you totally ignore what he tells you to do. So he's going to do what you ask him to do. You ignore him. You totally disregard his instructions. So he should listen to you. Kolshkin. Misha ava chugge l'kim mitzvasav. If a person violates the laws of Hashem, his mitzvahs, Hashem yad v'heid oleyem, he's telling you, he's testifying, this is what you got to do. Shetia tochela sabatei chalov nichzeva kishemeyo. How can you have true bitachon if you rebel? For the year really called b'shem b'techlim, how can you be called a b'tech b'lokim? Achu k'mo shomar kosev, as the pasuk says, ki mat tikvas chonev ki yivza ki yeshel alokan nafsho. What hope is there for the flatterer when he basically discards Ribbono Shel Olam? Will Hashem listen to his cries? He's ignoring Ribbono Shel Olam. Why would Ribbono Shel Olam listen to him? V'ama haganov v'tzoch v'naof yishavah l'sheker. They steal, they kill, they commit adultery, they swear falsely. V'amar u'bosim v'amadetem l'fanai b'yisazeh shenik v'shmi olav. Then you come and stand in the base of Mikdash. V'ama hamaoros pritzim hoi b'yisazeh shenik v'shmi olav. Has my base of Mikdash become a cave for the robbers to hide out in? So Chosvos tells us that it's obviously clear that if you're going to have a talk in Hashem, you have to strive to behave in accordance with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's instructions and Hashem's rules. And we already addressed the question that earlier on, the Chosvos makes it abundantly clear that it's impossible to have bitachon if the Ribbono Shel Olam only takes care of you when you're a tzaddik, because no one's a tzaddik. How can you put bitachon in Hashem if I only get what I deserve? I deserve nothing. While I put bitachon in Hashem, I can't expect Hashem to do anything for me. I'm not a tzaddik. So by definition, if you're going to have bitachon in Hashem, it has to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you that which you rely upon Him for, despite the fact you're not deserving. If Hashem only takes care of you if you're deserving, then no one's going to have bitachon in Hashem. Because who, honestly, will say to themselves, I'm deserving? No one's deserving. If I'm not deserving, why do I put bitachon in Hashem? So Chosov says before, clearly, it doesn't work that way. If you put your bitachon in Hashem, Hashem will take care of you, despite the fact you're not deserving. If you don't deserve it, it's a chesed, it's nedivus, it's kindness, it's generosity. That's the meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you don't deserve it, Hashem will take care of you. Well, that is a concept he repeats. And it's logical, because if it's true that you only can rely on Hashem if you're a tzaddik, then no one's going to rely on Hashem because no one's such a level of tzedakah. So clearly it has to be that way, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of you even if you're not a tzaddik. And we report a medrash that even the ganef who has bitachon Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the ganef will work out, it'll work out because he's trusting in Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then you come to this section where the Chosvo says, you really think Hashem's going to take care of you if we rebel against Hashem, if you ignore his mitzvahs, you ignore his averus, and you do what you want, you think he'll take care of you? So it's an apparent contradiction. You could say that there's a big difference between the person who tries and stumbles along the way and the mamre oso, the one who is an open rebel. It's a big difference. But we're not rebels. We try to do good. We don't always do good. If bitachon means Hashem takes care of you when you're deserving, I'll never have bitachon because I'm never deserving. But if Hashem will take care of you even if you're not deserving, I'll have bitachon. A mamre, someone who's a rebel, who totally rejects the Ribbono Shel Olam, rejects the mitzvahs, rejects the averus, so he expects Hashem's going to take care of him. That doesn't make any sense. The problem is, according to our definition, Let's say he really does have bitachon Hashem. So who cares if he's a mamre? Who cares if he rejects? If he has bitachon, he has bitachon. So he spoke out from the Sefer Yigeres al Bitachon that said, with Balach and Mansi, he says, Enechanami, even a mamre, someone who totally rebels, if he has real bitachon, Hashem will take care of him. But it's not likely to happen. It's very improbable that someone totally rejects Hashem's mitzvahs, totally rejects the Averis, that he'll put his trust in Hashem. If he would, it'll work. But it's very unlikely that he will. The Ganef the Medrash talks about as a guy, he davens every day, he keeps kosher, and he happens to be a Ganef. That's where we're living. So he puts his trust in Hashem, and his Ganef works out. If someone totally rejects the Ribbono Shel Olam, then does it make sense to say that, but he has bitachon Hashem? What does it mean to have bitachon Hashem? That Hashem knows exactly what's going on in my life. Hashem is aware of everything. Hashem knows what's best for me. Hashem will take care of me. Well, if you really believe all that, how could you not do what he asks you to do? How can you ignore the averis? How can you not do the mitzvahs? If you really believe that, then it's improbable that you're just rejecting everything else. The person who understands and is aware that Hashem is almighty and all-powerful and can take care of me and knows what's going on in my life and is aware of all the things we said until now. So if you know all that, you're not going to keep the mitzvahs. You're not going to stay away from that virus. It's the person who doesn't have that clear in his head who's the one who will be a mamre. You know, the B'chon of Asmi asked the question, how can it be that the Torah requires every bas mitzvah girl, every bar mitzvah boy, in the mitzvah of Emunas Hashem? One of the Torah mitzvahs. Anoich Hashem l'kecho, mitzvah emun in Hashem. The Yisod, he Yisod, the Rambam puts it, there's Ribbono Shel Olam. There's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and this is a requirement for every Jew. We have a mitzvah to say, the mitzvah of Mrs. Tamedius. From the time a girl is 12, boy is 13, he has this mitzvah. Effective B'chon, I don't understand. There are adults who are educated, scientists, PhDs, who reject that there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. They reject that God created the world. So it's clearly not that simple. This is not an easy thing to grasp. Brilliant minds reject this notion. How can this be an obligation for little kids? That's how he asked the question. And he answers that in fact, it's very obvious and very simple, this Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not difficult at all. And that's why the Torah makes an obligation to every child, every bas mitzvah girl, every bar mitzvah boy. So why is it that there are brilliant scholars and academics and doctors who don't know this and aren't aware of this and reject it and deny it? Says Abachanim, because the pasuk says, Shoichin ma'av eini pichim. Bribery blinds the sight of those who can see. It makes people think wrong. They don't see straight. What's the shoychad? What's the idea of shoychad? Shoychad twists the way you think. There's tremendous shoychad not to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the minute you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is the master of the universe, then you have to ponder the next question. So what does God want from me? If in fact there is a God, and God created the world, and created everything in the world, then what does God expect of me? And since they don't want to deal with that, they don't want to deal with that element, so they reject the whole thing. And they were not to deal with it. They just say, no, there's no God. That's Shoichad. Shoichad makes fools out of the wise. Anyone can figure it out. It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to realize there's Ribbono Shel Olam. People who don't accept that there's Ribbono Shel Olam, don't accept that Hashem created the world, is because they don't want to follow the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't want to know what Hashem wants them to do. They don't want to live a life based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rules. So they deny the existence of God. If a person is so aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he puts his trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's kind of impossible to ignore the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't, on the one hand, be aware of all that and then ignore the whole thing. So that is perhaps another way to explain Chavos HaFavos. It's true, if a person does put his betach in Hashem, Hashem comes through. You don't have to be deserving to have a Kaddish Baruch Hu take care of you. But the person who's mamre, the person who doesn't strive to do the mitzvahs and seirah neveris, it's kind of an indication that this person's not a baal bitachon. He can't be a baal bitachon. It's just inconsistent to say that this person is a baal bitachon. Lo yira'ui lihikare b'shem b'tachon. You can't call this person baal bitachon. It doesn't make sense, baal bitachon, if he behaves in a fashion that demonstrates he doesn't believe. If he behaves in a fashion that demonstrates doesn't believe, they can't be a baal bitachon. But if it would be possible to have bitachon, and a chanami, the chos also tell you Hashem will come through for him. I saw a fascinating insight this past Shabbos. I was looking at a sefer of Divrei Torah from Rav Shach, Zichar Tzadik Livracha, and it's going on Parsha Shemos when it's describing how the mothers of Klal Yisrael, the Noshim Tzidkoniyos in Mitzrayim, the righteous women, would strive to raise families in very difficult circumstances. And whatever power did to minimize the population growth of the Jewish community, the women went out of their way to have children and do whatever they could to bring children into the world. So Shach makes a comment, why is it that many irreligious people have small families? Very small families. And I always thought that it was because they're selfish. Children kind of cramp your style. You have ideas what you want to do with your life. You want to go on your vacations. It doesn't work with your little kids hanging around. So you'll be eight, so you'll have your one, your two, and you're done. And then it doesn't interfere that much with your life plan. So I always understood it like that. Also from a financial standpoint, you ask a financial advisor, what do you think about having kids? They'll say it's not a good financial idea, right? You think of all the expenses that go into having children and raising them and educating them. Any financial advisor will tell you, if you're looking for financial advice, you don't have kids. So you have kids despite the fact that that's not why. But if you're looking from a financial standpoint, it doesn't make sense. So I always understood this. It was a selfish thing. It's selfish to bring children into the world and have a large family. It's being selfless. You're putting your children ahead of yourself. You want to put yourself ahead of your kids, so then you won't have that many kids. Rav Shach says, not pshat. I also thought that was pshat. So that's not pshat, says Rav Shach. That's not why. That's not why. Which is basically, don't assume all these people are selfish. They're not selfish at all. Why aren't they having those families? He says, imagine like this. Imagine this forest. And it's a scary forest. There are wild animals in the forest. And there could be bandits in the forest. There's danger looming in the forest. If a person has to go through the forest by himself, it's a very scary prospect. But when a child goes through the forest holding his father's hand, the child is perfectly secure. Now, the father might be nervous, but the child has no fears. The child has no fears when he's walking with his father because his father takes care of him. In his mind, nothing can happen to me. My father's with me. I'm good to go. Where the father's scared, that's a different story. But the child has no fear. Person by himself is terrified. So, Dr. Shach, this world is a scary place. The world's a scary place. Bad things happen. There are difficulties right and left. There's a lot of things in this world you don't understand. Between poverty and hunger and war and illness. There's a lot of bad things going on in this world. It's a scary place. So if you're walking with your father holding your hand, you're not scared. It's great. You're perfectly secure. Everything's good. It's a great place. If you don't have your father holding your hand, it's very scary. Says Rav Shach, those who are not religious, they don't appreciate that there's a father holding their hand. They think they're walking through this world by themselves. You walk through the world by yourself. It's a pretty scary place. Why do you want to bring kids in this world? Why would I bring a lot of kids? I mean, one or two. I'm not going to bring kids in this world. It's a scary place, this world. It's a scary place. But if you're holding a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand, what are you afraid of? Nothing to be afraid of. Everything is fine. The Baruch Hu takes care of everything. There's nothing for me to fear. If you feel that you're with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, why not have a big family? What's there to be worried about? That's Rav Shach's explanation in this phenomena that we find. So again, this idea of the Baal Bitachon, the true Baal Bitachon knows he's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's not afraid. The Baruch Hu is with him. And in that context, he tries to do what the Baruch Hu wants him to do. Obviously, he tries to do what Hashem wants you to do. You might not be perfect, that doesn't mean Hashem won't come through for you. The person who totally rejects, he doesn't keep mitzvahs, Judaism is not part of his, you know, to him, it's a ethnic thing, it's not a way of life. So he might eat a latke on Chanukah and Hametash on Purim. That's the extent of Judaism, some matzah on Pesach, some honey on Rosh Hashanah and Nebuch. If that's the extent of Judaism, so it's taka, it's a scary place. That person should have bitachon, how can he be talking? It doesn't make sense to have bitachon. They don't have bitachon, they don't have a relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's how I think we can understand the Chovos of Avos. Person does not have to be perfect to have bitachon. And the Baruch Hashem will take care of a person who's not perfect too. But if a person just doesn't have this relationship with Baruch Hu Bechlal, he doesn't see any reason to do the mitzvahs, doesn't appreciate that the averus are bad, so he's going to be about bitachon, it's like inconsistent. You really can't have the two together. You can't have them at the same time. And that's what the Chovos of Avos is saying. I think that is a very reasonable way to resolve the two separate pastures in the Chovos of Avos, and to understand from our perspective that we try. We may not be perfect, but we try, because we understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is aware, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us instructions, and we try to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us to do. Doesn't mean we're perfect. No, we're not perfect. But that doesn't interfere with our ability to have bitachon. The Neder, we will continue next time with the last of the Hakdamas. The next one leads into the whole concept of Hishtadlus, which becomes its own separate issue of Bitachon and Hishtadlus. The Neder, when we continue, we'll come back to the Hakdama HaChamishas.